Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the only daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes, on Audioboom, wherever podcasts are found. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Excited to be with you all here on this now Wednesday. And this is a good day because the Pelicans have finally made a move this offseason. It broke yesterday afternoon that the Pelicans were going to be signing Tony Allen to a one-year, what appears to be, veteran minimum deal. I'm going to go into some of the salary cap specifics and why it better be a vet minimum deal. Otherwise, maybe this is going to be a concern of a signing. But hey, we're going to break this down for you in today's edition. Basically going to be talking about his fit, his role, what he's going to be doing here, what Tony Allen's still good at, what he isn't. He is 35. It's a bit of a concern. But I'll give you a bit of a preview here that basically, you know, I think the Pelicans are better today than they were yesterday. So we're going to break all of this down for you. Also, it came out a little bit after that yesterday that the Pels are signing another guy to the training camp roster. I'll let you know who that is in the second half. Why I was really high on him coming into out of college into the NBA draft and would have loved the Pelicans to draft him, but they didn't. But hey, they finally get their shot a couple of years later. So let's just kind of jump right into everything in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So quickly before we talk about Tony Allen, I do want to mention, don't forget we have our New Orleans Basketball Social Club, the second meetup, going to be over at the New Movement Theater this coming Friday, starting at 9:30 p.m. Then at 10:30, we're going to migrate indoors from having our drinks at the bar outside, chilling, hanging out, talking basketball, talking Pels, talking other hoops, and move indoors, and we're going to do a live recording of Locked On Pelicans. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tickets are $5 for the podcast, but free if you get there by 10. You can come on in. There's drink specials, including Bourbon Street Shots, of course, and Ballerade, and it's going to be a great time. We had a lot of fun last time just hanging out in the courtyard, talking, answering questions that people have when it comes to the Pelicans, then coming inside, having some fun. If you listen to the show, we were all joking around before doing a live Q&A with the audience, answering any questions they then had, which can get thrown on the podcast. We then upload the podcast, put it all out there for you all to listen to, and it's a lot of fun, and we had a really great time. We'll have some other special guests as well, along with Chris True and myself, so make sure you make it out. It's 2706 St. Claude Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70117. Starting at 9:30, the podcast will start recording right around 10:30. So make sure you come on out, hang out, talk some hoops. We're going to have a great time. So Tony frickin' Allen, and this is pretty cool because the Pels needed to make a move to replace some of Solomon Hill's production, especially on the defensive side of the ball, not so much offensively, as we know Solomon Hill's not a good offensive player, averaged 7 points per game last season. And there's worse players to do it than Tony Allen, particularly on a minimum contract, which is supposedly what it is. We don't have 100% certainty yet, but this is what it seems like, and this is a good thing. So look, Tony Allen is 35, you know, grit and grind, the grind father with Memphis, and he's not the player he once was. Let's be honest here. But this guy did still make a second team All-NBA defense last season. He's made an All-NBA defense team 6 of the past 7 years, including multiple first teams. You need a guy like this on the team. It can't hurt to have, and at $2.3 million, if that's what it is, part of that's actually covered by the NBA. I forget the specific amounts here, but it's a way to kind of keep older players in the league. So as a 10-plus year veteran, you know, part of the tab for him is picked up and paid for by the NBA, meaning not the Pelicans. So he kind of comes cheaper than that $2.3 million. And this still leaves the Pels about $3.9 million under the hard cap to go out and re-sign Dante Cunningham. Though, as we talked about yesterday, I'm not so sure about that. or to try and sign another guy. And they're certainly going to need another guy after this, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But let's focus on Tony Allen. You all know he's tremendous, tremendous on defense. Goes out there and is going to hustle and shut down opponents' best perimeter players. And this gives the Pelicans a whole lot more versatility, which I think is the best thing here. You know, you can run out multiple different lineups. You can have Rondo, Holiday, Tony Allen playing against a smaller lineup and feel pretty good about what's going to happen on the perimeter, where you have at least two very good defensive players in Allen and Holiday, and one okay one still in Rondo, because he's not what he once was. So, you know, going out there when you're defending, if he plays the three in a three guard lineup, he's 6'4". He's not tremendous height. Solomon Hill 6'7", 6'8". And you've got to worry about, I'll talk on it in a second here, but basically there's about half dozen small forwards, elite wings in the league that'll be able to really take advantage of Tony Allen and score consistently on him. And, you know, at a very high clip. And they're going to do that against most NBA teams. That's why this is okay. You're not just looking to just shut those guys down. And Solomon Hill certainly wasn't able to do it. You just try and slow them down a little bit, have them score less efficiently than they have before. That's something that Tony Allen still can do, even if he's undersized versus them. He's so strong defensively. He holds his position well. And he's so smart and instinctual. He knows how to go out and just make plays. So he adds that defense, that leadership, that tenacity and basketball IQ to this roster that they haven't had before. And hopefully some of these other guys either just pick up on that energy that he brings or learn a thing or two from him. Not necessarily that he's going to go out and change a team entirely, but hey, it still can help. All of a sudden he looks a little bit better in the context of this. So I think that's the really great thing. But Tony Allen is not a direct replacement for Solomon Hill. Solomon Hill could guard twos, threes, and fours. And in particular, if he was playing the three or the four, that's great, because this defense, and I've talked about this and I've hammered this point home because it's very important, switches a lot. If all of a sudden you have a power forward setting a pick for the small forward or what have you, especially when there's elite wings out there, you see that a lot. All of a sudden you need to switch, and Solomon Hill would then go and guard a power forward. And at 6'8", that's okay, especially when he's switching with someone like Anthony Davis, because Davis can hang for the most part against, or at least in like limited capacity, against some of these elite wing players. And now, all of a sudden, you might need to have Tony Allen switch onto a power forward. At 6'4", and as good as he is defensively, that gives me a little bit of a concern. I had like Tony Allen guarding ones and twos for sure. Some threes, absolutely. Fours, that's where you're getting a little bit out of his depth and out of his range and not his skill set. He's better on the perimeter, working in a little bit of space to guard. That's kind of the concern. You know, so that being said, you still would expect someone to get brought in here that can guard both threes and fours, and maybe Solomon Hill's minutes defensively is going to be split between those two guys. Before I talk about Tony Allen on offense and a couple of things, because there are some misconceptions out there about him, and I think he will contribute, maybe not in the ways people hope, and then the ways people think he will contribute, I don't know if he's going to be so good at. I do want to mention, you know, fantasy basketball is starting to come up, and your drafts are going to be here before you know it. Check out the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast, available, you know, on the Locked On Podcast Network. I was on there with host Josh Lloyd talking about the Pelicans and players that might be able to contribute, guys you maybe want to look at towards the end of your drafts, dollar pickups in the auction leagues. It's great information. He's going to help you win your league. So make sure you give a listen to Locked On Fantasy Basketball.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
So we know what Tony Allen's going to bring defensively, and the intangible type things of leadership and just teaching people how to grind and be a driving force in the locker room and just helping this Pelicans culture, which the team has been trying to shift for a little while now. You saw it last season with the move to bring in Solomon Hill. A lot of it was because of, you know, kind of the locker room presence he was going to bring in. The Pelicans were very high on. Even a guy like Rondo was voted best teammate last year by the Chicago Bulls. So again, you see the focus on the locker room and the off-court aspect inside of everything becoming very important. And we know he's going to help there. He's going to be great defensively. He always will be. He's going to add some kind of tenacity off the bench. But what about offensively? And that's where Tony Allen's never been known as a good player. But when you look at his kind of direct replacement in Solomon Hill, who he's not directly replacing, as we said, because they're different positions and they're going to have different roles. But Solomon Hill scored 7 points per game last season and largely was just kind of a non-factor offensively, like the Pels were playing 4-on-5, because he's standing in the corner very often, just there to space the court. And not do much. So again, he's just kind of there as an anchor. They used Eric Gordon in this role for a long time too, before finally his last year, the final like 2 years he was here, kind of free him up to get the hell out of that corner a little bit, to go out and try and score and do some other things. Tony Allen's not going to just sit in the corner for the Pelicans, partially because if he does, then you're definitely playing 4-on-5 and you're not going to get 3-point attempts from him, because in his career, he's averaged half a 3-point attempt per game and 0.8 over the course of last season. He shot last season 27.8% from deep to 28% overall. So no one come to me with any of his 3-point numbers, because this is a guy who just doesn't shoot threes, and I don't care if he shot 100% in certain types of situations or whatever. This is not a thing. But he does score, and he's averaged 9.1 points per game last season, his highest in the past couple of years, actually. Did this on 8.4 shots, so not very efficient, but efficient enough. And he did a lot of this by working off ball, and this is exactly what the Pelicans need. If they're going to run that Chris Finch boogie-centric offense between 25 and 30% of the time, you know, you need guys to run around and cut and try and score that way. And that's what Tony Allen does. He was actually, I think, in the top 25 in terms of field goals and cut attempts that are tracked per that SportVU data synergy stuff over at NBA.com/stats. That's good. Really good. And that's only going to track if it's a shot attempt or a turnover, basically. So it doesn't necessarily show, or a foul. So it doesn't show times he was just darting around, cutting, and, you know, never got the ball, but is trying to make the defense work for it a little bit. So I can see him running around a lot off the ball on offense, and I think that's going to be a great thing for the Pelicans team. They need guys who are going to be able to do that. They kind of lack them right now. The problem is he's not an efficient scorer in that type of play either off of cuts. He ranked in the 7th percentile when it came to scoring off cuts last season. That's bad. There's another way about it. That is very, very bad. And, you know, he's not an efficient scorer. But again, you simply need guys to take shot attempts. He took 8.4 attempts per game. Last season, Solomon Hill only averaged 6. You need other guys that are considered somewhat threats by the opposition, and I think that's something that at least Tony Allen might be a little bit. That's a helpful thing to have. Again, at a certain point, you just might need some volume and shooters out there, even if they're not great at it, to at least bomb it from 3 and have the threat of that to maybe at least make the defense bend and adjust a little bit. Tony Allen may be able to provide that here when it comes to off-ball movement and cutting, but he's certainly not good. He averaged, he scored 0.95 points per play off cuts last season, so under 1 point per play. That's not good. You need to at least be over that 1 to really be considered a threat or anything like that. And this is a guy who just wasn't capable of doing that. But again, it's on a vet minimum deal, supposedly. And it's a 1-year contract. This isn't a guy who's going to come in and play 36 minutes per game last year. He averaged 27 last year. I think that's kind of maybe a little bit less than that is what you're looking at him to do this year. And coming off the bench and maybe being one of the first subs in is perfect for him. This is, you know, a Pelicans team that hasn't had much success with second units the past couple of years, largely because they couldn't stop anyone when they got out there on the court. Now you have Tony Allen who can harass and defend with this second unit while letting other people take the scoring load when you can kind of play 4-on-5 offensively, because you're not as needed. It's second units. They're not as good as starters. And he'll also get some run with starters too. But what's great about this also, to talk a little bit about what his role with the team might be, is, you know, it adds some versatility. They can throw things out there. He won't be a starter. You're going to be concerned about playing him and Rondo together. And I think it's Darius Miller's kind of other spot to lose in the starting lineup right now. But maybe he does finish games for you, depending on the team that you're playing. Maybe they do have a much smaller thing, or they're running 3 guards out there. Tony Allen is a hell of a player to put out there in that situation to kind of disrupt them and give you some defense at the end of games. And, you know, for a signing on, you know, September 11th, 9/11 here, that's great because there are not very many players available right now in free agency that can even help a team, let alone be kind of a needle mover, though this isn't quite one. But certainly the Pelicans are better off today than they were the day before, yesterday. So before I wrap up today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, there was some other roster news for the Pelicans. It likely isn't going to matter, but it was said by Woj, I believe, that the Pelicans are bringing in free agent forward Perry Jones III on a training camp deal. And this guy is going to be a long shot to make the team, of course. But man, when he was coming into the NBA out of Baylor a couple of years ago, I was so freaking high on this guy. I wanted the Pelicans to take him 10th overall. I think it was in the draft that Anthony Davis was drafted in. The Pels took Austin Rivers there. And you know what? He just never lived up to everything. He's been out of the NBA for two seasons now and just has not looked good. So frankly, I don't think this is going to mean much. He was a guy who was like 6'11", could play, you know, the 3, 4, and 5 position at times. So it's kind of got that versatility, and I've been saying here the Pels need to bring in someone else who can guard threes and fours. I don't think Perry Jones III is that guy. They'll certainly give him a look, but frankly, he's a huge long shot to make the roster. I wouldn't worry too much about it. The Pels are going to have, you know, I think they can have 20 guys in training camp before you cut down to 15. And they're going to have a ton of guys in there trying to see if one of them can make the roster or make the team, but frankly, all of them are going to really be long shots to do so. But there should be another signing coming, it sounds like. You need someone who can guard the 3 and 4 positions. You got to wonder if it's Dante Cunningham. You know, all the kind of like the stars align for this to happen. They can kind of offer him the money he wants now, maybe at least, or better than what he would have had he accepted the player option. But you've got to wonder if he's moved on, if the Pelicans have moved on, especially if he wants a long-term deal, because their salary cap situation after this year gets even worse than the situation they're in right now with having to re-sign DeMarcus Cousins. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know if it'll be Dante Cunningham. Like I said, I'm not as high on that happening anymore as other people are. I never was to begin with. So we will see what happens. But now that you've got Tony Allen in, you need another guy to guard those threes and fours, particularly fours. And kind of maybe use those two in sort of a platoon-like setting, depending on the opponent, and use that versatility that you have to your advantage. So expect another move to be made at some point in the future. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Thank you all for listening as we broke down the Tony Allen trade for you, talked a little bit about what else is going on with the roster. Don't forget the live podcast and meetup hanging out this Friday at the New Movement Theater in St. Claude, Bywater, Marigny area. We're going to be starting at 9:30. Live podcast going to be recorded at 10:30. We're going to have a lot of fun. Late night Locked On Pelicans. We had a good time last time, so make sure you swing on by and hang out with us. Also, don't forget to rate the podcast 5 stars on iTunes if you can. Subscribe to it on iTunes, Audioboom, wherever you get your podcasts out. And also follow it on Facebook. I actually have an article and a post up there on the Facebook page of Locked On Pels right now going a little bit more in-depth about Tony Allen. Make sure you give it a read. Make sure you follow it. And there's going to be a lot more content coming up on there, including Facebook Lives and different things like that. So I'm your host, Jake Madison, @NolaJake on Twitter. Thank you all for listening, and I'll be back with you all next time.